Okay, I need you to talk like you're actually going to talk.
All right, well, we're going to talk about John's boomer take on why it's not cool to dunk anymore, so.
It's not about that. It's about something different.
Fix your headphones. That looks painful.
Okay, there, we're good. All right. All right. I tweeted it.
You called it disgusting.
It was disgusting.
It was disgusting, you're right, but not the way you're saying it.
I've tweeted so much in between them now. Okay, so there's a tweet that came out. By the way, lunchtime.
Noah Hiles.
John Bozica. I feel like they should know that at this point. By the way, if you have any topic that you want us to talk about, tweet
at
us.
Save it for yourself. Oh, yeah. Tweet at us.
At 1480WHBC or tweet at Noah.
At Noah underscore Hiles 95.
At John Bozica. J-O-N-B-O-Z-E-K-A.
Just my name's not that hard to spell.
Just to make that easy for the people. So there was a tweet that came out yesterday from at Red Apples. It's David Ostramkus, I think is his name. Whoa. David Ostramkus.
You have him over for some...
Yeah, he's not Greek. I don't know. He might be Greek. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Some rice leaves.
So rice leaves? Really, rice leaves.
What are those called?
Who are you?
Not Greek. What That's are who you? I am. Who
are you? What is this?
What are those?
What is going on?
What are those called?
It's called domades. They're stuffed grape leaves. Okay, so there was a tweet just from at Red Apples if you want to look this up.
Yes.
It says, imagine being down 124 to 44, and then this happens. It is a video of a kid stealing a ball on a basketball court and then going down the floor and throwing home an in-between-the-legs dunk. So I quote tweeted this and I said, this is the worst sportsmanship I have ever seen. You are ahead by 80. In this case, you pull the ball out and don't act like this when you score. This is disgusting. And I had a lot of people that kind of disagreed with me. Noah was one of them that really disagreed with me the most. But because of that, you know, I kind of decided, hey, I want to talk about this today. I personally think this type of thing is disgusting. You're up by 80. Like, there's no reason to do it. Just lay the ball up and run down the floor. Or pull the ball out. You don't even have to score at this point. You're ahead 124 to 44. It creates the point of, why are you even playing the game still at this point? Why does it even matter?
That's where I want to start, actually. You asked why you play the game. Why do you play sports?
I mean, I guess you play it to win.
No. Play because they're fun. To have fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
But it's also demoralizing.
Which is what I aim to do anytime I'm in a contest with someone. As should any other competitive athlete. All right, here's my take on it. Because I knew this was going to be a podcast.
I'll just say this.
Okay, go ahead.
Whatever happened to act like you've been there before?
Oh, well, I mean, I would imagine that kid has never done in between the legs dunk in a game before, so
yeah,
how could
but you're
he do
ahead
so?
By 80.
Okay, so here's my whole take on this, because I didn't want to get into it on Twitter because I knew this would be what we were going to talk about
sure.
on Friday. You play to have fun.
Okay.
That is something that kid will. I mean, he'll tell his kids and his grandkids about that, and that's something that, you know, not many people in the NBA could pull that off, let alone a kid in high school. You know, and so I'm all for a kid doing that. And to be honest, I'd rather, if I'm a coach of his, I get the you know, don't bury the team like that. But at the same time, if I'm going to have a kid dunking in between his legs, I'd much rather it be in a blowout than it be in a close game. Because the risk-reward is much different. Third point, I went to a college that routinely blew out teams in football, Mount Union. And I thought it's more disrespectful when they would recover a fumble when they're up by 50 in the first half, and instead of running it in for a touchdown when they had no one chasing after them, a kid would slide at the 10-yard line. To me, that's...
I see no problem with
see,
that.
See, if someone did that to me, I would start a fight. Because it's like, you know what? When I sign up to go out on the field or the court or whatever field of play, I want your best. And if your best is demoralizing me, that's fine. You know, I'm not saying that you need to, you know, it's inexcusable. You see these teams, they win by 100 because they're pressing the whole game. I think that's Bush League. But if you're just playing the bare minimum, you know, running the ball, or in this case, basketball, you're five passes before every shot, you're taking no threes or whatever. But if you get a fast break and dunk it, so be it. It's to me, I think it's more disrespectful if he were to pass up an open layup and just say, no, we're beating you by too many. Like, I have pity on you. I don't want your pity. I want your best effort.
Yeah, but also,
and my
like...
And my last point here, sorry.
No, you're fine.
The bench was out of line. You can't go on the court. In their defense, if one of my best friends just did that in a game, I would have gone nuts. I would have had a similar reaction. But you can't take it on the court. You're not LeBron James watching Bronny Jr. You're not in the NBA. Just keep it off the court, and I get that's kind of hard because the bench space is a little limited in high school.
You know, right? You know how much I love high school sports.
You do.
I mean, it's my favorite thing,
yeah,
honestly.
More
really
than pro
is.
And college.
Like, I really do love it. Like, yes. I'm not blowing smoke up people's asses by saying that.
You really do. More the than point, anyone else I know.
The point is this, is that I just believe that part of high school sports is showing great sportsmanship back and forth. And I think that this example of, hey, I got a steal, so I'm going to run to the other end when my team is up 80 and slam it home with an in-between-the-legs dunk. And then to add on to it, here's the thing. If he had done the dunk and you hadn't had the big reaction, I think I would have been a little bit more okay with it.
And I agree.
But the reaction from the bench of, like, everybody jumping up and down and the crowd acting like dude just won the NBA Finals because of this, like, come on, man.
I mean, he dunked a ball in between his legs.
He did, but also at the same time, like, you're up by 80.
I get that, but like, I think that's a separate mode. I do, like I said, you can't go on the court with that. You can't go on the court. But if you were, let me ask you this. If you're broadcasting that and a kid does that in the game, how do you react behind the microphone? Do you say that's disgusting? Do you call it for what it is?
When a game is out of hand, I typically
dial it back.
I typically talk well about a kid that's on the winning team if he pulls the ball out.
I agree.
Because I think it shows
sportsmanship. If you know, McKinley's blowing out this team by 80 and some kid gets a fast break and does this move, what do you do? Do you call him out?
Yeah, I'll probably say something about it. I'll say, like, he dunked it, but I don't think he should have.
You won't get pumped to see that in between the... You wouldn't lose your mind seeing that dunk.
No, because I think it would be poor sportsmanship.
But it's still an amazing dunk.
Yeah, it's an amazing dunk if you're not winning by 80.
I think it's amazing dunk whenever. And like I said, what do you think on my point where it's better to do that when it's not a close game?
I mean, I think it's better when it's a close game. Because if it's a close game...
If you pull it off, it's sweet.
Because here's the thing. If it's a close game and you're playing with, like, a big rival that's, like, in county... Like, let's say Maslin is playing McKinley.
Yeah, or Jackson Hoover.
Yeah, and
one
it goes
of those
down
ones.
To the final wire. And a kid does something like that.
That's a momentum shift.
It pumps the crowd. Mm-hmm. It's a momentum shift. It's huge. And, like, a couple of years ago when, like, Jackson would do when they had, like, Kyle Young and Logan Hill, and it would just be Dunk City and McKinley back to, like, Raymar Morgan and those guys from, like, 12 years ago, like... I had no problem with that because, like, it was them pushing leads out. Like, with this, it's like, dude, like, look at the scoreboard. Like, I get it. Like, maybe he never plays. But, like, at the same
time...
And
that was another thing that raced through my mind. Why is this dude... Why is Vanilla Chocolate... Or what's Marshall from... Vanilla Thunder is what they called him. When Marshall from How I Met Your Mother, he won the dunk contest.
Yeah, was it Vanilla Thunder?
I think it was Vanilla Thunder. What's Vanilla Thunder doing on the court when they're up by 80? You know, that team must be loaded. If the kid you have on the floor when you're up by 80 is doing in-between-the-legs dunk, I'm fine with that. Also, context added here, there's certain games where this is okay. If this is against a rival and you're beating them by 80, absolutely, shove it down their throat because they would do the same to you. Also, second time where this is acceptable, senior night. If this is this kid's last game ever on that court, go out like that. I'm 100%. Go off, King. You know, if he's a sophomore or something, maybe it's a little different. But if it's senior night and that kid does that and that's his last basket he scores on that court,
the
I'm 100%.
Dunk champion of Nicollet County, Minnesota, gaining the nickname Vanilla Thunder.
Vanilla
Marshall
Thunder.
Marshall Erickson.
Yes.
A trademark dunk called the White Windmill.
Yes.
Won it for Marshall.
Yes.
I guess it's just the whole problem that this is something that I have a problem with in sports is like really big showboating. Like, I'm not a huge fan of it. Like, I don't even like when the Browns played the Steelers earlier this year and Joe Hayden picked off a pass and all of the Steelers ran into the end zone and did that big thing.
Every team.
I hate that though. I hate it. I even hate when the Browns do that. I'm one that, and again, I sound like I'm like 85 years old.
John Boomer Bozeker here.
But, like, I am so much a person that, like, just play the damn game. And, like, just if you score, act like you've been there before.
And I guess that's where we differ. Because, like, seriously. I think that...
Like, have fun. And, like, to me, the fun should be that you're playing the game. You're playing the game at the highest level, or you're in the game in high school. That should be the fun.
So you get mad at LeBron when he does his crazy reactions?
I mean, I've never been a fan of it.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I've never liked it when...
I think that too I've never often liked it we when, try to make sports something it's not. And at the end of the day, it's a game, and games are fun. And I get that high school sports, more than college and professional sports, are an opportunity. If I didn't play high school football, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. I learned a lot about accountability. I learned about, you know, the importance of being on time, being punctual, respecting authority figures. I learned all that stuff. However, I do think we at times, as media professionals, cast this, you know, shadow of judgment where it's like, you know, they're just having fun. And at the end of the day, if you don't, I'm always a big proponent of this. If you don't like me dancing in your end zone, if you don't like me dunking in between my legs, if you don't like me, you know, reacting after a goal, or if you don't like me pimping my home runs, things of which I've never done any of them because I've not been able to do it, but stop me from doing it. That's my mentality on all of that. It's if you don't like it, don't let it happen. And, you know, by the judging off that scoreboard, they couldn't let it, they couldn't prevent it.
You know, the thing is, you brought up Mount Union earlier, and I remember this always being a discussion, and I don't want to come down on any other OAC schools, but there was always a feeling within the OAC that you already went into the Mount Union game down 28-0.
You went in, those like, kids did not want to be on the field.
Like, you went into it with the thought, like, we're already going to lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, to me, that's completely different. Because, like, Mount Union knows, like, they're going to steamroll the OAC.
It's fun.
Like, unless someone else is really good.
There's
like,
two games. There's Baldwin Wallace is going to come in playing dirty, and John Carroll's going to come
in. Yeah, they're going to try and do their best. And on occasion, they will get the mighty Mount Union.
John Carroll will.
It's few and far between.
Yeah, Baldwin Wallace does.
But it happens from time to time.
Once a decade, yeah.
So, I guess I don't have a problem with... Like, when they, like, get a scoop and score and they just, like, fall before they get to the end zone. Because, like, to me, again, that goes back to the fact that, like, respect your opponent as well. Like, and to me, respecting them is, like, I'm not going to rub it in your face by scoring. Because, like, Mountain Union, honestly, and this is not a joke, against every OAC team, with the exception of John Carroll and Baldwin Wallace, they could make the scoreboard look like 115-7 every single game.
If they really wanted to.
And it's like, I think it shows restraint, and it also shows that the Karrises, who are no longer there now, Coach Dart, but I'm guessing he's going to have the same ideas.
He's a part of the Karras family.
You know, so it's like, because you had that, there was that feeling that, like, don't rub it in.
I think there's a way to do both. I think there's a way, you talked about respect. I think there's a way to not rub it in, but at the same time, respect the game. And I think when, I remember, you know, in baseball, there would be some years where we were so good, we would be winning like 22-0 in the third inning, and our coaches would just tell us to go there, keep the bat on our shoulder. I think that's disrespecting the game. I think in football, you know, the way Mount did it, like offensively, they just ran three halfback dives up the middle, and it's the easiest, you know, by the numbers, we're going to run it into the masses hoping that someone tackles
this kid. So it's the easiest play to stop.
Yes, exactly. And you know it's coming. So that, but at the end of the day, if none of those kids can tackle the Mount Union running back or, you know, you got to let them, you got to score. You can't disrespect the game by, you know, taking a knee at the 5-yard line or keeping your bat on your shoulder or, and you're also taking away moments of joy. Like, what if that kid wasn't, you know, by some miracle, he was an in between the legs dunker that's the 15th man off the bench? Score, have your moment. Or these Mountain Union kids, I remember there was a lot of freshmen who would come in at the end of the game and they would run the ball, and credit to them, they would not get to score a touchdown because they would run out of bounds at the 5-yard line. And like this whole year, it's like this kid probably could have had 7 touchdowns, but he has 1. It's because he ran out of bounds at the 5 every single time. And that's, but at the same time, I think that that's taking away from the game and the individual. And that's not a selfish thing. I just think you play the game how it's meant to be played. You take your foot off the gas, but you never hit the brakes.
See, I guess I've always been a person that's never liked it when there's one person that's like running away from a field in something, or that's like heads and tails above everybody else. I've never been a huge fan of that. Like, yeah, it was great having LeBron here. Like, it was great having the best player in the world on your team. Sure. But, like, I also think there's fun in always having competition. Like, see, Tiger Woods winning those tournaments that he won by, like, 30 shots.
Yeah.
Those were the worst golf tournaments in the world to me.
But I think that that's important for sports is to have, because if you look at those periods.
But I would rather
the Michael Jordan era, it spent an entire decade of teams figuring out how are we going to beat this guy. And then it led to a new dynasty and a new and it gives you something to strive for, and it gives a common enemy, and it creates narratives. I'm all for that type of single team dominance, because it sets the bar, and I like that about sports. I like that teams look up at Mount Union or the New England Patriots or the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they say, we got to take these people down, and that's the bar. And then part of sports is setting the new bar, and if that comes with dunks in between the legs, and so be it.
I think great sports happens when there's parity.
Yeah.
To me, that's when great sports happens.
But sometimes in order to create parity, you have to take down the top dog. And I think that the memorable moments in sports at times are when the top domino falls, when the empire ends. The joy I felt seeing the New England Patriots lose to the Tennessee freaking Titans in the playoffs this year, or the joy you felt when Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard destroyed the evil empire of the Golden State Warriors. The moments like that in sports are just as special. The joy that everyone in D3 football feels when Mount Union or Whitewater loses a game.
See, the thing is that, like,
or what All-Star County feels when Maslin loses.
See, the
those
thing
are
is,
the big victory. That's what makes sports great.
But I guess because, like, and again, this is something that I've taken on as a view, and this is like my last thought on this. But because of covering sports, I've taken on it as a view to just kind of like respect greatness and not want to see it taken down. Like, in terms of, also, I don't want it. Like, I don't want, like, sustained teams to win every year.
Your relationship with sports is the most abusive relationship.
It's very complicated.
Yes.
It is. I have many problems.
You're like a 17-year-old girl.
It's just also, like, the moral problems I have with sports, which is, like, a completely different topic that we could have.
Yeah, we're going to.
And, like, I mean, I have, like, a boatload of issues with, like, all of the leagues.
Our next episode, you're just going to be sitting on a couch.
Seriously, I could, dude, if there was like,
I'm going to show you an ink blob and you're going to be like, yeah, that's my feelings towards athletes being paid in college.
Like, seriously, we could do a whole series, and maybe this starts it, a series of things that John hates about modern day sports. And this is one of them. Showboating and
passing,
running up the score.
The football, the three-point line.
I like those. I like those things. But when used in moderation, when used in moderation, I love the designated hitter. I'm an AL kid. You're an NL kid. There's a big difference there. Again, if you have a topic that you want us to discuss, tweet at us at 1480WHBC or
Noah_Hiles95
at John Bozica. And now Noah's No Doubters.
Noah's No Doubters. We went 1-2 last show. We're going to rebound here. We got the 76ers -5. Whenever the waves are rough, that's when Noah Hiles likes to dive right in, baby.
Okay. All right,
so they're calling him Soft Shaq, and Charles Barkley calling him the Browns of the NBA. You know what? We're betting on the Browns here. 76ers -5. Mavs Wizards, we're going with the under. 232.5 points is the total. So I just feel like that is extremely high. They're saying that game's going to go 116-116.
I mean, neither team plays a ton of defense. And
but,
Luka
Doncic
could,
we're getting
like
close
45.
To the All-Star break. Guys are booking their vacations. No way. And then we're going from Dallas versus D.C. to the Ivy League, where we have Princeton and Cornell. And these guys, they don't play on the weekdays, so they're well-rested. I'm going the over, 135.5, between the Princeton Tigers and the Cornell Bears? Grizzlies? Andy Bernard went there.
Pretty sure they're the Big Red.
Big Red, whatever. Yeah.
I might be wrong about that, though.
Well, you're wrong about a lot of stuff.
I'm just kidding.
Whoa, hey!
Oh!
Thanks for listening to Lunchtime.
Monday, we'll catch you again.